Welcome to I Can Ship It. We're your host. I'm Annette.
And I'm Ashley.
This is episode 9. Each of us has put a list together of our top 3 go-to lesbian-centric movies that we enjoy. Some may be a little more dramatic than others. Some may be a little light. But I can already tell you, if you're expecting to hear about Carol, this is not the one for you.
Oh my God. I had to.
Okay. So we're going to start off, we're going to do the 3-2-1 format, and today I'm going to start with, it's a little film, it came out in 2018 called Snapshots, and it is a Telefilms, and it was, it's actually based on a true story. The writer of it is Jan Miller Corin, and this is a story that happened, I've not ever been able to find it for sure, but I kind of think it was her grandmother. So it's set in present day when it starts, and we meet this older lady Rose, who is like she's the grandma, and then we meet Patty, which is her daughter, and then we also meet Allison, which is Patty's daughter, so it's Rose's granddaughter. So we meet these three women, so you've got these three generations of women, and they're all going, grandma lives at the lake and Rose lives at the lake, so Patty and Allison are going to go visit her at the lake house. And this is a house that we find out pretty soon that's been in the family forever. And they're going out there just to visit grandma for the weekend, not expecting anything. And when they show up, Allison ends up, she's a photographer. And while they were cleaning out some stuff at home, she had found this box that had this old camera in it. And she took it downtown, going to see if she could get some film since she's a photographer, thinking this would be some cool shot. There's actually a roll of already used film in there, so she has it developed, and she doesn't look at the pictures. She just goes ahead and brings it to her grandmother. And when we see Rose open up the photos, because she's not sure what's in it, and we don't know what this camera is. We don't know anything at this point other than these three women, you know, they're going to spend the weekend at the lake. So she just kind of goes off to the little cottage to herself, and she opens up, and then there's this photo that comes out, the first photo, and it's, I mean, this beautiful redhead woman. And with, you know, at first, the first time I watched it, I thought, oh, this is Rose when she's younger, because you can definitely tell this is like 50s, 60s type thing. And we see that, in fact, that is not Rose. That happens to be her friend, Louise. And so this is like the central love story of it. This is not going to ruin anything for you. I don't want to give too many spoilers as I get into this, because it would be real easy to give it all away. But what we see, because we get to see Rose's story in these snapshots as she's looking through these pictures and she's getting all these flashbacks, we see how Louise and Rose met. We see the development of their relationship, because both of them were married at the, you know, married to men. At the time, neither one of them would have considered themselves gay. But they met because they were both staying at the lake at that time. And it goes on for a few years. They spend every summer together. And over the course of them spending the summers together, the two women fall in love. And it's one of those things to where, you know, it's 50s, 60s, there's by no means these women can be together, or they don't think that they can. It's one of those things that it is heartbreaking, but it is so, it's just so beautiful for me. But while we're seeing these flashbacks, you've got this other story going on in present day with Allie, and which is the granddaughter, and then Patty, which is Allie's mother, and the three of them there. And the two present day, they don't know anything about grandma's past with this woman. All they know is grandma was married to Poppy. That's all they know. We find out that Patty, she's a little bit of a bigot, because the gay neighbor comes over and visits. That's just the side thing. But anyway, as we're learning this about her mom, we find out, oh, she's a bitch about this stuff. Allison has also got her own drama, because she's in this marriage with Mark, who we never see. All we really see are, all we ever see, I think, is women in this film. I don't think, other than when we flash back to the husband. But she's married to Mark. She says, you know, I married him too soon. I married him because dad had died and I needed something to hold on to. And then as the film goes through, because I'm not going to take you through every step by step, we find out that she's seeing somebody else. Her mother kind of puts her through the ringer. Then, of course, Allie finds out she's pregnant. She starts thinking about abortion. That comes into it. But all of these stories kind of intertwine. And as we get to the reveal of grandma telling, so Rose is going to tell Patty and Allison about her love story, because it's relative to what Allie's going through. As she lays these photos out, She's like, I know you've been dying to see what's in this. And so she lays it out. The first thing she shows them is, they see her and they're like, how old are you? She's like, I was 25. And then she shows them a picture of Louise. And then they see Louise and her husband. And so she straight up, she tells them, she's the her daughter, Patty, is thinking, oh, this was mom's best friend. So why have I never heard about her? And she tells him, she's like, I came from a family where we didn't talk about the past, especially when it hurt. You were seeing this older woman. I mean, she's just getting so choked up trying to tell them about this. I mean, she's the love of her life. And so she's telling them, and we're finding out in the same time what happens, because all we know is they were lovers for a few summers, and then all at once it stopped because we don't know why at this point. So she is telling them, showing the photos, and she's there, asking the questions, why did y'all stop hanging out? And she tells them, she said, well, then we hit this flashback and we get to see like it was their last time together. And they're pretty sure that both their husbands knows. They just don't want to admit it. But Louise begs her to run away with her. We can't do it. I can't leave my marriage. All of this stuff, basic stuff that definitely would have happened back then. And what kills me though is I go back to, this is based on a true story. This somebody went through this. And so they decide that they'll go their separate ways. And also, about a year and a half after that decision, this is all coming through as grandma's telling them this, that's the end of Rose and Louise's story. But we'd still get a very happy ending in the movie. And that's kind of where I'm going to leave you at on that part, because I just can't give it away. I love it. I love the music of it. I love the feel of it. I love the look of it. The music, oh my God, because I'm a nerd that loves the 50s and 60s rock. And so there's this whole sequence that we get of it's kind of like in the old, like the camcorders they would have had back then. And it's just the sequence of shots of Rose and Louise, and it's Angel Baby that's playing in the background. And I mean, you want to talk about swooning. I am absolutely swooning to no end. But yes, this absolutely is one of those movies you have to see it. Based on a true story, you're supporting, queer content creators and makers. It's full of, family secrets. There is, I will give you this one line that I absolutely love, because as they're navigating trying to get together, our Louise flirts from that jump. Like, she is a flirt straight up. And Rose is like, sometimes I feel like you're flirting with me. And Louise says, oh, I definitely am. But don't worry, I'm not a man. I only go where I'm invited. So I was just like, that line, I was like, so she respects her enough to like, look, yes, I'm going to put it out here for you, but at any point you want me to stop, I'll stop. And at one point, Rose does tells her no, and Louise just stops. And then she decides, no, I want this too. So yes, snapshots, see it, you can get it on iTunes, Amazon, anywhere you can stream it, you can get it. Tello, I'm not sure if it's still up there. But I know you can, I'm pretty sure you can still order the DVD from there.
No. You know what? I think I've seen the trailer for this because it sounds vaguely familiar. I haven't seen it, but I think I've seen the trailer. And then it kind of sounds so fun fact, Tessa Thompson was on, she did a I guess not a guest star because she wasn't really a star yet, but she was on a show called Cold Case from back in the day. And she did
Remember
an
Cold Case.
episode. Do you remember that show? She was on
Yeah,
that show. Ironically, she was in the episode with the lesbian couple back in like the 40s or 50s. Do you remember
oh,
that?
wow.
It was like the
I don't
interracial
know if I remember that.
lesbian dude.
I
Go
need to
back and
go. I
watch it.
need to
It's a
go and watch
great
that.
episode. But yeah, she was a part of the lesbian interracial lesbian couple for that episode. And this story kind of reminds me of this, based on, unfortunately, spoiler, Tessa gets killed. She's the one that gets killed for the cold case. But anyway, but yeah, it kind of sounds like that. So I'm definitely intrigued. And like I said, I've seen the trailer before, because I used to subscribe to Tello. I kind of jump in and out. Just it varies, but
It depends on what content's there, to be honest with you.
yeah, exactly. So it kind of varies as to when I'm back on the subscription, when I'm not, you know, kind of thing. But anyway, I have subscribed in the past quite a few times, and I've seen the trailer, at least I think I have. It sounds super, super familiar, but it's intriguing. So, and because of Cold Case and just kind of what you described, I'm kind of interested. Mm-hmm. So definitely intrigued. So I think, so for my number three, let me put my look at my note here. My number three I'm going to put will be But I'm a Cheerleader, and it is to me is like one of the greatest movies. I freaking love this movie because it's so cheesy. Like, you have to go into it knowing it's a cheese fest. Like, that's, if you go into it knowing that, then you won't be disappointed with kind of the formula for the movie. Because it's not serious by any means. It's not even like how normal comedies are. It's just very, just, oh my God, it's great. And it has a lot of like names and faces that you will recognize immediately. Tasha Leone, Clay Duvall, RuPaul is in this. There's just a ton of celebrities and stuff that you would recognize. But it's basically about this high school cheerleader who, oh my God, it's so good. Like, and like, I'm trying not to laugh as I'm describing it because I can see it playing in my head. But so it's about this high school, high school cheerleader. Natasha Leone plays this high school cheerleader. And basically her family and friends have an intervention and let her know that, yo, we know you're gay. And so her parents send her to a conversion therapy camp, school kind of deal. And so mm-hmm. she falls in love with Clay Duvall's character, and it's just their story of being at this camp. And, you know, usually when you think of conversion therapy, it's, you know, it has a very, very dark, you know, connotation. And they take that dark situation and that horrible, you know, idea of conversion therapy, and basically it's satire. Like, it just, it's like a huge spoof on this stuff, and it's great. Like, the camp leader, her son is hella gay. RuPaul plays a reformed camp counselor at this place, yes, who has a crush on the headmistress's son. So it's just, it's great. So Leanne Rimes, I don't know if they're still married, but her husband, Eddie Cibrian, he is the son mm-hmm. of the headmistress who RuPaul has a crush on. So it's great. It's freaking hilarious. And then probably aging myself, but if you remember Biff from Night Court, he's in it. I don't know his real name, but he's, you know, a Bull. I'm sorry, not Biff. Bull from Night Court. Bull.
Biff was Bull from, Back to the Future.
Yeah, Bull from Night Court. He's in it. He plays this this gay character who basically takes in the kids who escape from the conversion therapy camp. And it's just a bunch of shenanigans. Like, it's watching Natasha Leone's character, like, navigate the fact that she is a lesbian and she's falling for Clay Duvall. And Clay Duvall's got her own drama because she's actually rich. And her dad is like, I will cut you off, and like all this stuff. I mean, it's great. Like, you gotta watch it. It's hilarious, and it's a good time. Like, you feel good at the end of the movie. But it's, again, you gotta go into it knowing that it is satire, and it is cheesy as, I mean, it's cheesy as hell, y'all. Like, oh my God, it's so cheesy, but it's great. Like, it's just, it kind of reminds me of like Saved. Do you remember the movie Saved with Macaulay Culkin and Mandy Moore? Holy shit. You need to watch it, especially if you grew up in the church. Watch it because it's hilarious.
I'm shocked that I've not seen it with Mandy Moore being in it.
Yeah, she's in it. Macaulay Culkin's in it. Who else? Oh, shit. What is her name? The chick that played... The chick that played the Victor from District 10 in Hunger Games. I can't think of her name right now. But if you saw her face, you know exactly who I'm talking about. She's in it. Who else? There's a bunch of other people that's in it. It came out in like 2003 or 5 or something like that. But it is freaking great. But it kind of, but I'm a Cheerleader kind of reminds me of Saved just a bit, or actually vice versa. But yeah, it's a good time, you guys. Like, if you just want like a movie to just, you don't want to think, you don't really want to like pay attention, you just want a good mindless comedy to just unwind from a tough week or a long week or whatever is going on in your life, check it out. But I'm a Cheerleader. I believe, is it Hulu? It's either Hulu or Amazon. You can get it on, of course, iTunes. The movie's old, so you can find it just about anywhere. I don't believe it's on Netflix. But if you give it a Google and you can find where it is, do it legally, of course. But I'm pretty sure most of the big
Yes.
streaming ones have it. So you can get it that way or rent it from iTunes or Google Play Store. Amazon Prime, whatever. But yeah, it's a good time. Check it out. Annette, you've never seen But I'm a Cheerleader? God, I'm sorry.
No, I know that's shocking. It's one of those that I've always had it on the list and I've not watched it, or I don't think I've watched it. But because I've seen several things over the years, so who knows? I mean, let's think about it. I'm an old gay. So
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a, I don't, God, I think it came out in like early 2000s, I want to say. Like,
I
it's
know it's
not.
all it's on everybody's list, and so I don't know how I've missed it. I would imagine I just haven't had access to it at the
I don't know.
point when it's out.
I feel like next Lexicon, like, if you haven't seen it by then, which you should have, but if you haven't, we have to watch it. Because, I mean, we watched a movie, which, well, you technically watched it. I fell asleep because I was hella tired. But, it's one of
It
those, like,
works.
classic
It's all right.
movies. It's one of those classic movies that you have to see because it's just great. Like, check it out, guys. Give it a try. It's, like I said, go into it knowing it's cheesy as hell and you won't be disappointed. So, but I'm a Cheerleader. That's my number three. Hit him with your number two, Annette.
Right, so my number two. All right, look, we all love, when I say we, I mean we queers, we lesbians, we gays, however you want to call yourself. We are suckers for the Hallmark Christmas movies just like anybody else, right? All we want in our gay little lives is a holiday movie with two leading ladies. That's all we want. We're not even gonna be specific. We would take any holiday. Hallmark still ain't giving us that. So thank God for Jenna Lorenzo and Les Bomb. That's LezBomb. Simple as can be. This is actually set at Thanksgiving instead of Christmas, but you know what? Thanksgiving is really where we kick off all of our holidays. Let's be honest. A lot of people just go from Halloween, skip over Thanksgiving, and into
Nope.
Christmas. So, it's still a holiday movie. But Jenna Lorenzo, she's the writer, she's the director, and she ended up being the lead in the movie. So she plays Lauren, and this is actually, I know a lot of people have problems with coming out stories. I don't mind coming out stories, if it's, valid. And I think everybody's is valid, but sometimes, if you get the same cookie cutter one over and over, it does get boring.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does. So Jenna had written the story years ago, and she'd been trying to make this movie, and she never could actually find anybody to play the lead. So she decided, you know what? I'm going to play the lead myself. And it kicks off. We see her and her girlfriend in the movie, which is Haley, who is played by, it's Caitlin Mener, Mehner. I've not seen her before. So the two actresses lead, they're fairly well, not fairly unknown. But you do see like Steve Guttenberg's in it. Oh shit. Parent Trap mom, I can't think of her name. The one where Lindsay Lohan and them did that Parent Trap. She's in it. She plays
Oh,
the
I love
aunt.
her.
Yeah, she's amazing in it. I meant to write her name down and I forgot to. Yeah, and it's chock full of people. But anyway, it kicks off. We see the girlfriends. They're, smooching on the couch. And Lauren's roommate, he rolls in. I'm not even gonna call his name because he's irrelevant to me, okay? And her mom, Lauren's mom, calls. And this is where we find out that, oh, okay, so Lauren's going to go home for Thanksgiving, which is the next day, because they're, baking pie, how much on the nose can you get, to take to mom's for Thanksgiving. But while she's at Thanksgiving dinner, she's going to drop the quote unquote les bomb on them that, by the way, parents, family, would you like to meet my girlfriend? Because, yes, I'm gay. So they don't know, First of all, this is a bad idea. You don't drop this on a family holiday. You don't do that. Because it's always going to be like, you remember that one Thanksgiving? You remember that one Christmas? No, don't do that. But anyway, it's funny. It's lighthearted. Because it takes her all day to get around to it. And everything that happens, like the uncle ends up smoking weed and burns down the bathroom. So they have to evacuate the house. Her roommate shows up. Who was not invited by her because usually she takes him home with her. So mom has always had a suspicion that she was dating the roommate. Guess what? So that leads to confusion because mom thinks that this relationship that Lauren's trying to tell them about is, oh, it's her and the roommate. They've been together. So then Lauren's dad's like, I'll kill him. Said he's been shacked up with our baby. You can't do this. And they're like, well, when they were going to be roommates, you were fine with it. And she keeps telling him, I'm not dating him. We're not together. Well, he kind of plays into it because we come to find out, of course, the asshole's in love with her. That's why I'm not giving him his name because I just don't like him. So, anyway, I don't. But the best part about this is her grandparents, Cloris Leachman. She plays Granny. So, after when Haley finally gets there and Haley finds out, because Lauren was supposed to have already told them when by the time Haley got there. That this was, her girlfriend. Didn't happen. So this leads to even more problems because Lauren's brother ends up hitting on Haley. It's just one thing right after the other, but it's all funny and it's all light, and it is typical family dysfunction at a holiday set within a coming out story. And it just cracks my shit up. So anyway, when Uncle burns the house, they have to evacuate the house. The family owns this motel. So they have to go to the motel for Thanksgiving dinner. And Lauren still hasn't got the story out. But we've also found out that Grandma saw Lauren and Haley kissing in the yard before they left. So, she's got her snide remarks and comments. So it ends up they're at the motel for dinner. She's going to drop this on them. And it finally does come out. And it's kind of a disaster. But it's not because her family doesn't care. It's just that everything that it took to get there, like her and Haley ended up fighting. They pretty much break up right there. Then, you see the next, when she talks to her mom, her mom's okay with it. She doesn't have a problem. Her dad doesn't have a problem. Nobody even has a problem with it. It was just the fact that she was so scared to tell him, which is like most of us, We internalize it way more than it's gonna mean. Lauren's talking to her mom afterwards and the mom and dad had already decided, hey, this is not a big deal. She's a good kid. She's got a good head on her shoulders. She is who she is. And, mom as much tells Lauren this. And I will just go ahead and tell you, it's a very happy ending. And it is very smushy and holiday. And the little tag at the end, they're like, well, when should we tell them we're moving in together? And they're like, maybe Christmas. So I'm okay if they want to give me a Christmas movie too. But it is. It's just cute. It's a queer creator. Jenna is actually married to a woman. The whole family's great with it. I think I listened to a podcast she was on a year or so ago, and she came out, and then like two of her female cousins came out too. So she's old news. It's no big deal. But it is. It's just funny. It's cute. It's lighthearted. It's sweet. And it's one of those things to where you could watch it with your whole family. You wouldn't be embarrassed by any part of it. So, yeah, Les Bomb, watch it. Even if it's not Thanksgiving or Christmas, give it a watch. It'll make you feel good.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer for this one. Again, it's on my list, but I'm one of those people who I don't believe in watching holiday movies outside of the holidays. So
Oh.
I'll eventually get there. But yeah, I mean, it sounds pretty good. And of course, it's always good to have a holiday movie. So maybe it'll make it onto my list for this year.
I
I don't know.
actually
We'll
did
see.
watch that at Thanksgiving in the theater before I
Oh.
streamed it anywhere. So yeah, we had
Oh,
a our little theater in Nashville showed it, and I was like, you know what? I'm fixing to go support this.
okay. Nice. Yeah, I mean, it sounds just like any other family, super dysfunctional, but I mean,
Yeah.
as long as it's a holiday movie that ends in a happy ending. I can't stand it when they make holiday movies and like the ending is just trash. Like, it's just like, well, you win some, you lose some, but you're happy. No, no, no. This is the holidays, okay? I have to deal with bullshit all year long. 363 days out of the year. Okay. On Christmas Eve and Christmas, I want just abnormal happiness.
Happy goodness.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I don't want real life. Okay. I don't want that. So I have to deal with it every day. So don't come at me with some, you know, bullshit ending. I want a happy ending. I want a cheesy, sappy, happy ending. So if the movie ends in that, I'll like it. I can dig it. So, all right. My number two on this one is going to be I Can't Think Straight. This movie, I've probably seen it. I don't even know. I've lost count at this point. I've watched it so many times. I've watched, you know, clips on YouTube if I don't want to, you know, dust off the DVD to watch it. Like, I mean, just something like that. Like, I've watched it that many times. So it's super good. It is about these two, it's actually two women of color. One woman she's a Indian woman, and then the other woman is from Jordan. So she's Arabic or Persian, or I'm not really sure, but she's from Jordan. And so it's about their meeting. So the movie, it really mostly follows Sheetal. Oh God, and I can't think of her name. Thank you.
Sheetal Sheath. Girl, I know this movie.
Yeah, Sheetal Sheath and Lisa Ray are the two actresses. But it follows Sheetal's character the most. And she is just basically like, it's a coming out story, you know? But it's not like the atypical one. So, but it's good. So basically, Sheetal's character, she's dating this guy, of course, and he introduces her to a friend of hers, And this friend is Lisa Ray's character. And basically, these two women, they become friends. At first, they kind of butted heads a bit, like, because, Sheetal's character is Muslim, and Lisa Ray's character, her family is Muslim, but she's not really a practitioner of it. She doesn't, that she kind of finds it antiquated and, you know, just, it's not her thing. But they kind of butt heads a bit, and they become friends eventually, and then of course that morphs into something more, and it's just a really, like, beautiful story. Especially, I love it because it shows, you know, the different things that people of color can experience with their coming out story, especially in, you know, very religious families and stuff. And I like the fact that it wasn't like, so at some point, you know, they hook up, and then basically Sheetal's character is like, hey, you know, I want to be with you. You got to come out. And Lisa Ray's character is like, nope, I got to marry this dude. Like, I'm not ready for that. And they split up, and Sheetal, you know, she starts living her life and doing her thing. And then Lisa Ray is, you know, heartbroken for the most part. And, you know, she wants her back, but like can't. And she's got this like push pull thing going on in her life. And then it just, like, I love this movie. Like, and I don't want to give it away because the movies that we have on our list are really good. And, well, yeah, I say they're really good. And yeah, you don't want to spoil it, you know, so it's definitely, just watch it. It's so, so, so good. Oh my God. It's just, it's amazing. And like, I'm thinking of like all these like really great parts, and it's funny. Like, there's this, Lisa Ray's mom is a mess. And she, oh my God, her character's mom is great. Like, she's probably one of my favorite characters, even though she's kind of a bigot, but she's still pretty funny. And then I don't know, she's not really a butler. She's not really a maid, a handmaiden, I guess. Lisa Ray's, character, her mother's a handmaiden is great. Like, her facial expressions to when the mom is just like being an ass is hilarious. And then at one point, spoiler alert, she like spits in this woman's tea and the woman drinks it. And she's just like so incredibly proud that she finally got to stick it to her. Oh my God. And then her dad is just, oh my God, he's just amazing. Oh, he's just a cuddle bear. Like, he just loves his daughter and wants his daughter to be happy. And, you know, it's a good story. And the sister, Sheetal's character, has a sister, and her sister's like, it's like her wing woman, man. She's like, yo, you know, I got your back. Like, I want to help you out. Maybe, you know, help you get the girl or whatever. And she, like, goes undercover. Like, there's just so many, like, funny, like, scenes. And, I mean, there's drama mixed in it, but it's mostly a comedy. And it's just good. It's lighthearted. It's fun, you know. I mean, there's always those parts where you're like, man, what the hell? Just accept them. Just be yourself, whatever, you know. But for the most part, it's just a good movie. Because I'm kind of like one of those people, like, I don't really like the cookie cutter, like, coming out story. So mm-hmm. I don't, you know, if it's like, oh, girl realizes she's gay. And then, you know, there's hijinks that ensue. And then everything's right as rain by the end. Like, this one ends in a happy story, you know, moment, but like there was work put into it. Like, I don't like it when everything just turns out to be okay, when in real life that's not always the case. So you know, I don't know, it's kind of like a pet peeve of mine with some movies. I'm like, that's not how it works in real life. Like, I get movies are supposed to be an escape, but just don't, that's just no.
But you need some realism.
Exactly. Just a smidge.
You need a little bit of reality rooted in there.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I it's one of my, like, ultimate pet peeves is just like, all right, I get it's a movie and it's fantasy, but come on, guys. Like, let's add a dash of reality to at least make it believable to an extent. It's not a holiday movie, okay? Holiday movies, go for it. If you want to make it so unrealistic, by all means, you have the ability to do it because it's a holiday movie. If it's not a holiday movie, no. Okay? No. That's putting my foot down on that one. So, but anyway, I Can't Think Straight. It's great. I'll speak of music. So, you know, that really likes music. And this one, it incorporates a lot of music from the writer and director from her culture. So it's definitely an interesting mix into the overall kind of like feel of the movie. And I just really like that she took everything from her own life, and that is also written in a book. She took from her own life and stuff and like molded it into the movie to give it more of that like kind of authentic kind of feel to it. So it's really good. Check it out. I Can't Think Straight because I have my own copy. I don't really know where you can find it. I believe Telo. You can get it on Telo if I remember correctly.
I think you can get it on Telo. It was on Netflix at one point. I don't know if it's still there or not.
Mm-hmm. But again, give it Google. You never can go wrong with Google. Give it a Google. You probably can get it in either iTunes or Play Store. Amazon surprisingly has a lot of stuff. You wouldn't think that it would, but especially a lot of the movies that really aren't mainstream, you can pretty much find it on Amazon. Like, you might have to pay, you know, obviously pay for it, but if it's not on Prime, then you definitely can rent it. And usually these movies are only like $2.99, $1.99, $3.99 max. So you're not spending a lot and supporting a good thing. So check it out. I Can't Think Straight. I love it. It's great. I'm pretty sure, and Annette's like, I've seen it before too. So you both get our seals of approval on this movie. Yes. I Can't Think Straight.
Absolutely. Watch it.
All right. What you got? You're number all one, right?
Number one. And this is the reason we had to go 3-2-1, because otherwise I would have spent all my time talking about this film. Some people love it and some people hate it. I'm in the camp of love it. If you don't love it, I don't need to know why you don't like it. I don't need to know nothing about it because this is my movie. And it is Disobedience. My God, do I love this film. Okay, it is straight up drama from get-go. It's based on a novel by Naomi Alderman of the same name. And it stars Rachel Weisz and Rachel McAdams. So it's got the Rachels. And I'm going to tell you right now, if Rachel McAdams is in it, I'm watching it, and I'm probably going to love it. It's just a rule. That's how my mind works. But I waited for this movie when it was announced like 2 years prior before it ever premiered at the Toronto Film Festival. Like, I read the book when they finally announced that it was going to be the Rachels in it, read the damn book again, and I am going to tell you, I hate the book. 100% hate the book and have read it twice. But this is the only case I can tell you of where I love the film way more than the book. It's way better than the book because they took the characters from the book and sprinkled in, you know, the settings and the ideas, but they changed what the book was because the book was trash for me because it really was not a love story. It was just shitty people being shitty. But Disobedience is, oh my God. Okay, so let me get you set up. So we first see, of course, a photographer. So right away we know she's got to be a lesbian because that's kind of a rule. You know, that's one of our tropes. It's always going to be a lesbian photographer in something. Oh, all right, so that's Rachel Weisz. And that is Ronit. And we had opened up before we'd saw this guy collapse in a church, and he was singing in Hebrew. So clearly it was synagogue. He was Jewish. So then we cut over to Ronit with her lesbian photography business, and she gets a call, and then all we know is she's got some kind of news. We don't know what it is. She's got the shock on her face. We see her get on this plane, and the next thing we know, we see her knocking on a door, and what we soon find out is a suburb of London. And they open up, and she ends up going in this house. Turns out the man that dropped in the beginning of the film was her dad. So her dad had died. She was going over, of course, to mourn her father. This is where we also find out she hasn't been there since she was a teenager. And this woman is clearly in her 30s at this point. And this is, I will give the movie a little bit of criticism because there's some things, if you didn't read the book, you would be like, well, they didn't explain that very well. Because they don't. Because you don't really get that timeline too great on it. But the book kind of ties everything together. So you know that the reason she got sent away is because her father, which happened to be the Rav, which is the rabbi, had caught her and her best friend, which was also her girlfriend, Esty, while they were making love as teenagers. So dad jerks her up and sends her away. And that's the last they see of her. So that's why she hasn't been home in all these years. So, but of course, you know, she finds out her father's dead. And I'm just going to be honest with you. As somebody that has gone through some grief, going through grief of losing a parent, you're in shock. You don't know what to do. It doesn't matter how good or bad the relationship is. You got to go. So she goes over. She's going to pay her respects. She goes in. We meet her aunt, who is, God, I love her aunt. She's perfect. But then we also meet an uncle, and we see the rest of this community. They very much have shunned her, and they don't want anything to do with it. They just see her as this pariah. And the house she had gone to was David's. And her and David and Esty, the girl she was caught with, all grew up together. And David has been the pupil of the Rav, so Ronit's father. So she's, you know, all ostracized completely. Nobody wants to talk to her but her aunt and David. So David takes her into the kitchen, and they're sitting there talking, and she's trying to catch up. She notices he's got a wedding ring on, and she's wanting to know, you know, it's like, well, who are you married to? And she starts naming all these kids they used to make fun of when they were little. And all at once, here comes Rachel McAdams, who we quickly learn is Esty. So we now know that, oh, here comes the woman that she got sent away for. And I mean, when I tell you, the moment these two women laid eyes on each other, if you didn't know anything about the book, you knew that the sparks were flying and this was about to get rough. Because it's just those... We've all seen it, whether it's heterosexual, whether it's gay. You've seen those movies where as soon as you see two people look at each other, you know that they're the two people that's going to be getting together. You know that's the one. And Rachel McAdams kind of has this way, like she just wrings her hands, and her and Ronit and Esty, they're looking at each other, and David's kind of odd man out. But to make it even more awkward, we find out that Esty and David are married to each other. Girl, I'm going to tell you right now, like, this set me up. I knew I was about to get me some great drama and some angst, okay? But anyway, that sets up for this whole just unraveling of everything. Because anytime religion's involved in something, and this is why I like anything that's got a religious overtone, you can see just how repressive that is to an individual, to a group, to a society. Because they've all got these set rules. No matter what the religion is, it's these set rules. If you don't abide by these, you know, you're going to hell or whatever the equivalent is. Because I don't believe Jewish people believe in hell. I'm not Jewish. I don't know. So we get the meeting of the three of them. And, you know, Ronit's going to be there for a week, as we learn. Because in the Jewish tradition, they've got a week to pay respects to their dead, you know. They've already buried him by the time she gets there. I think they have to have the body like 24 hours. That's not neither here nor there. But they leave out of the house. And Ronit's walking in the back of the pack because it's this whole group of people. They're going on some kind of walk. I don't know. And Esty's in front. And again, these two women just fucking look at each other. And it's like, oh, dear God. And the way that you see them, it's so awkward when you have the two women and David in the room because you can see the two women clearly have some unfinished business. You haven't figured it out yet unless you read the book, but you know that they have done something and you're trying to, you know, get a feeling for it. And you feel for both of them. And you feel for the dude too, because he's not a bad dude. He's just in this situation. You know, this is the woman he's married to and they were all friends growing up. This is one of those, everybody probably knows what's happened because I know everybody's at least watched the sex scene because it's got a lot of traction on it. But as Ronnie and Esty start to get a little time together by themselves. And it's very much, you can tell it's a first love situation. And this is just what makes my heart just swell so much. Is because even though these women are grown, they're in their 30s, they're still afraid to admit what they're feeling for each other. And that has to do with Esty being where she's at in this life. And where Ronnie, you know, she got sent away for having these feelings. Their first kiss after not, you know, being able to be with each other in almost 20 years. This is probably my favorite kiss I've ever seen in any film, movie, TV, doesn't matter. It's one of those that you can just tell, like, oh my God, I want to be kissed like that. Like, kiss me like that. And we find out how Ronit, of course, you know, found out about her father's death because nobody was going to tell her, but somebody did. Like I said, I don't want to spoil it. I know everybody knows a lot about it. But you do get to the sex scene. And then we kind of, you know, deal with the aftermath of that. It's not pretty, but it's not terrible. But you also see how Esty starts learning to speak up more for what she wants. And Ronit, you know, she's very much, you can just see the shock and grief on her because she does whatever Esty tells her to. She's like, whatever will make it easier on you, that's what I'll do, you know? And this is the ending is where people despise it because they want this wrapped up, beautiful little bow. They spent the rest of their lives together. The ending is not sad, and it is not unhappy. To me, it's the best possible thing that could have happened because it's open. And they do tell each other they love each other. Or Ronit says it to Esty after Esty chased down a cab to kiss her. So it's there because there was a big thing that happened, and Esty had to get... And we have to remember, they've, you know, dealt with the fallout from them, you know, being together. You know, they kissed. They made love. David finds out. Because, you know, somebody says, hey, we saw these two together. They filed a complaint against them. Damn religious people. Anyway, so they deal with the fallout of that. And this is where the part comes to where people just hate it. Because they think, oh, this should have been this happy. They should have left together. They should have gone back to New York. They should have done this. But here's the thing. Life happens and reality happens. And this is where I like that. To me, this has got their foot set in realism. Because this happens over the course of a week. I don't know about you, but there's no way over a course of a week, I think I could tell somebody, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go back to New York with you. First of all, she's lived in this community all her life. Esty has never been on her own. She's trying to figure that out. And she's got something big that is going on as well. But we do see she moved out of the bedroom with David. She's not going to stay with him. We find out that she is going to get her own place for something that has happened. And, you know, her and Ronit make plans to tell each other. You know, Esty's going to tell Ronit where she's at, and Ronit tells her she loves her. So after Esty had ran to kiss her. So we see this, and it's the best ending that could have been for me. I love it. Like, I know I've been very sparse on details because I want people to watch it, and I don't want anybody to form an opinion just because, oh, you know, somebody told me it was bad or somebody said the ending was bad. It's not. And I'm going to tell you straight up, it did fix everything that I hated about the book. Because I'm going to just go ahead and tell you, don't waste your time on the book. The book, Ronit was a manipulative bitch. She came back just to spite everybody and to basically ruin Esty's life. And she never loved her. And the film, it was a love story. We're going to get to the sex scene. We're not going to go into details because that is, you'll believe it. Trust me, you'll believe they really are in love with each other. A lot of people have, there's people call it the spitting part. it didn't freak me out whatsoever. It's not like, you know, she just talks and spits on her or anything like that. It's true. I know you've heard it, Ash. So,
yeah,
but the thing is, yeah, it's not. It's, yeah, they swap spit, but I mean, it's the same as kissing, but she just dropped it in her mouth. It's okay. I'm fine with it. But the thing of it is I just watch it. But Rachel Weisz actually directed this sex scene because she was tired of seeing all of these sex scenes that were directed by men and they had the male gaze and, you know, the women were stripped down to the bone. And I mean, they stay pretty well clothed. I mean, we see parts, we see things, we see what we need to see, put it that way. But it's very tastefully done. It's beautiful. I love it. I don't care if anybody else likes this movie. This is one of those things that I love, damn it, and I don't care what you think. So just keep your mouth shut.
I think we finally have found the one thing that we disagree on. I absolutely hated this movie. Like, I hated it. I completely hated it. Like,
why?
I can't even say. I just didn't like it. Like, it just was. To me, it was just bad. Like, I mean, endings aside, like, I'm a realist. So having the ending the way it did, I appreciate that because that's realistic. Like, you know, not everybody's going to pack up and leave their life and, you know, fly across the ocean to move in with somebody. Like, you're not going to do that. Like, that's not, I mean, some people do, don't get me wrong, but that's not realistic. So, okay, I appreciate
especially
that.
With what was going on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I appreciate that. And I mean, I appreciate what the movie tried to do, but just overall, I hated it. Like, I was bored. I was bored almost the entire movie.
I'm going to tell you, I actually, this movie, so it came out in Toronto a year before it ever hit stateside. It dropped like in New York and LA. And then a couple weeks later, it dropped in Atlanta and Nashville wasn't getting it for a month. I fucking took a day off of work and drove to Atlanta and watched this movie twice. God. Like, I... I'm telling you, this... I own this on Blu-ray. I have it on digital. I watch this movie a lot. And I don't know if that's because I had the background of the book and had the hatred of the book that I love the movie so much. I can't be... I honestly can't tell you exactly why that is, because if I didn't have the book for a reference, I don't know. And like I said, I think some of the things would have not fallen as well if I didn't have that background to know how they were in the book. But
yeah,
it's my jam.
And if you like it, to each their own. Like, that's cool. I mean, there's tons of movies that I like that people don't like, so that's fine. I was one of the people in the camp of I hated it, mostly because I was bored. And I just didn't like the flow of the movie, and I don't know, I will be critical. Just wasn't my thing.
There are a couple parts that I feel like got cut a little weird. But overall, I'd give it a solid 4 out of 5 for me on my movies. But I will tell you, like, I find myself watching this movie more often than not. It could be the Rachel factor. I don't know. But I love it. I love the angst of it. I know how the repression and how the religion, for real. I personally know how that can play into it. I don't know. I just very much identified with it. And the shock and the grief and everything that Ronit's going through, because she's just like, she's a zombie, basically. She is. And because she's had so much happen so quick. And to just be thrown in that world, I'm like, yeah, girl, I understand. Sometimes you gotta go. Like, I got you, you know. So yeah, I'm team disobedience on this. Actually, I have the poster. It's hanging in my office at work. No lie.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, to each your own. It's not my thing. So, you know, more power to you. You know, I encourage people, make your own opinion. You know, these are our opinions about it, but
some people will love it, some people will not.
Exactly. And that's movies. So, I mean, make your own informed decision about it, watch it yourself, and determine, you know, what side you're on. Team love or team hate, it's up to you.
That's right.
But, okay, so my number one is Imagine Me and You. I don't even think we need to discuss it. I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this, you've probably seen it, and you've probably seen it multiple times.
Seen it and own it.
Yes. So, little excerpt. Basically, it's a British movie, I guess. I mean, yeah. I prepare Bo. She's not British, but anyway. So yeah, it's a British movie. It's about this woman who gets married, and her florist is Lena Headey. If you don't know who Lena Headey is, why are you listening to this podcast? Lena Headey. All right, for those of you who don't know who that is, Cersei from Game of Thrones, King Leonidas's wife from 300, Lena Headey. Anyway, Lena Headey plays the florist who does the flowers for Piper Perabo's wedding. And basically it's following the relationship that develops between the florist and the bride. And then it kind of follows, you know, family members of each of these two characters and their kind of like just their whole journey into going from friends to eventually having a relationship and just dealing with that. And it's a good lighthearted movie. I don't want to say too much because you should just watch it. It's good. I mean, I just named off two reasons to watch it, the two actresses that are in it. And then there's other actors and actresses in it that you will recognize. Anthony Head from Buffy, a.k.a. Giles, he's in it. He plays Piper Perabo's dad. Matthew Good, I believe is his last name, he's in it, and he's been in a bunch of different things that you've probably seen. You're probably like, oh, I've seen that guy in something. You may not know his name. That's his name. Oh crap, what's his name? Frank from Killing Eve is in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
He plays the douchey best friend and best man of Matthew Good's character, Heck. And then there's this cute little girl. Her name is, what is her name? Starts with an H.
H.
Is it Helena?
No.
What's her name?
What is it? She says, she goes, my name's, is it Henrietta, but everybody calls
Henrietta,
it
Henrietta, that's it. Yeah, Henrietta.
Yeah, so they tell me me it's short for Henrietta, but my mom actually said Jesus H. Christ, which is what she said when she found out she was pregnant with me.
And she is hilarious.
We agree on this movie, okay, people? We agree on this one.
This is a classic, and, like, we went to Lexicon. We actually watched it. Again, I fell asleep. This was the movie we were talking about earlier that I fell asleep, but I was tired, y'all. I got comfortable and was knocked out. So, but I've seen it millions of times. So, and fun fact, this movie came out. I had just started working at Blockbuster. Yep, just aged myself. I was working at Blockbuster when this movie came out. And I remember when it released on DVD. And I was so curious about it. And my manager at the time, so when you worked at Blockbuster, history facts for you people. When you worked at Blockbuster, if you were, you know, cashier or whatever, you got 5 free movies every week. And so when the new stuff came in, you actually got to watch it before it hit the shelf, which was always cool. So it was one of my 5 because I was like, they didn't have a lot that came out that week. And so I was like, well, I need a filler. And my manager at the time was like, hey, check this one out. I watched it. I really enjoyed it. Why don't you watch it? So I was like, all right, cool. And I watched it, loved it, own it, because it's great. But watch it, people. It's so good. Like, it's just a lighthearted rom-com thing. And I don't like rom-coms. Like, there's probably a handful of rom-com movies that I actually like, and this is one of them. So it definitely... 5 stars. This is like probably one of my favorite movies. 5 stars. Love it. Annette, your thoughts?
100%. Look, this is, like I said, we agree on this one. Matter of fact, when we had to discuss our list because we knew one of us was going to do this and we didn't want both of us putting it on our list. So I was like, girl, you take this one. But yeah, love it. I mean, the lines that come out of it, it's just sweet. It's cute. Yes, of course she's, you know, she met the love of her life while she was walking down an aisle to marry a man. Okay, it happens. It's okay. Yeah. I fucking love this movie. Like, it's that one. I will watch it. When I need happy and sappy, I will throw this thing on in a heartbeat. Like, I own it. I don't know any lesbian that does not own this movie, to be honest
with
you.
Very true. That's very
like,
true.
And it's... Because it's honestly... I feel like it's probably one of the only true rom-coms we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a few that have like lesbian side characters, but are they the focus of it? No.
No.
We need more of this. So, you know, support these things. Yes, it's older, but you know what? Stream it, buy it on DVD. You know, let people know that there's still a market for this,
I'm
and you want
sure
it.
I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix.
So,
yeah, I'm pretty sure it's still
on
Netflix.
Is it on Netflix now?
I think so. I vaguely remember coming across it the other day, so I believe it is still on Netflix. But then again, Tuesday just happened, so it might not be on there as of today, but it was on Netflix. And of course, you know, you can rent it just about literally at Amazon, iTunes, Google Play Store. You can rent it, so it's not hard. This one is definitely not. I would say this one and my number one and Annette's number one, you definitely can find just about anywhere now.
Yeah, anywhere.
Yeah, so these are the two. Those are probably the two easiest ones to find, but like the rest of them, you might have a little bit of trouble finding, especially some of the older ones. But yeah, great. Just a great movie. I mean, and I appreciate you giving me this one because I gave you Killing Eve on our top five summer list, so
right?
I feel like Turnabout's fair play. So, you know, hey, it worked out. But, yeah, it's just fun. It's like sometimes you just need that lighthearted, like, you know, you're just kind of feeling, you're feeling a bit girly. You need to, you know, have a squee moment or whatever. Pop in this rom-com. You'll get all that, you know. It's sweet. It'll give you a
and
toothache.
We can promise you, if you need to get a lesbian's attention or you want to know if somebody's gay, just say you're a wanker number 9 and you're going to know straight up. You're going to know where they're
one
at.
One of the best lines of any movie ever. And I will fight you on that point. It is one of the best lines of any movie.
I have an actual pin that says that. It's on my work bag. I take it every day.
Yeah.
It says you're a wanker number 9.
You're a wanker number 9. That's just, come on, like, perfect example. Go holler that into a room somewhere. You'll see. That's a calling card right there.
Yeah.
So you want to beat people, you're a wanker number 9. And that'll definitely grab the attention of your people. So for sure. I mean, I feel like that's a great place to wrap it up. I mean, you had six great movies to watch. You know, if you're not binging shows and you just kind of want something to pop in, I live in a very hot climate, so going outside and quote-unquote enjoying the summer is not really possible for me. So indoors is where I live from the end of April until basically the end of October. So I watch a lot of movies and a lot of TV. So we just gave you 6 movies. So check them out. You know, always Google. When in doubt, just Google it. You find it on some streaming platform of some sort. So you can watch and check them out. But, you know, most of the movies we have are pretty lighthearted and fun. We didn't agree on our entire list like we usually do. But, you know, as we like to say, to each their own. You know, to each their own. So, do you. If that's what you like, go for it. But, I feel like that's about it. So, you guys know the drill. Find us on our Anchor page, anchor.fm/IDentshipItPod. We're on, Twitter, Instagram, I Can Ship It Pod. I don't know, man. We're streaming. We're doing this thing. We appreciate everybody listening. I love seeing. I'm kind of a nerd, and Annette knows this. I geek out over the analytics of this thing, and more people are listening, so we do really appreciate it. And honestly, who knew that recording two people just talking about random nonsense was actually popular? Like, these are just thoughts. Like, we have notes, sure.
Yeah,
but, like,
it's just what we like.
Yeah, it's just opinions on what we like. So, and people actually like listening to what we have to say. So we appreciate the ones that listen to us and are doing so. Hey, on our Anchor page, you can leave voice messages. I don't believe you can leave it through the app. I'm not sure because my app is a little different. But voice messages, let us know what you think. You know, we want to hear from you. Or hit us up on Instagram.
Yeah, if you've got something you want us to talk about, let us know.
Again, thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. And this is the I Can Ship a Pod. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Annette.
All right, that's going to do it. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.